You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Babulu Gumusege is our pastor, as we know, for the week. He has been here to help us navigate our way through these complicated questions that we were dealing with this week. All right, our question for today is, how can faith coexist with mental health treatment like therapy and medication? Again, when you listen to this question, you get the sense that this person does not see how the two can coexist, and perhaps is inquiring if they can, and if they can, how? Again, I suppose it's a fair question to ask if you're moving from the premise that God can heal anything and anyone. God does not really need medication. He can just say the word, pick up your mat and walk. He can just say that. So I suppose that's the context. I don't know. The pastor will tell us his reading of the question. But our question for today is, how? How can faith coexist with mental health treatment like therapy and medication? Now, the other side of this coin is how the medical fraternity has castigated communities of faith that dupe people into thinking that, no, you don't have to take medication. We can pray for you. And people don't take their medication and they get worse, and some even die because they did not take their medication. We have problems with faith communities that will tell people, no, don't take your ARVs, chemo, don't worry about chemotherapy, what? Blood pressure medication, don't worry. We're going to deliver, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to exorcise the demon of diabetes out of you. And people don't take their medication, and they get sick, and they die. So there are those two situations. And the person's question is, how? How can faith coexist with mental health treatment like therapy and medication? Joining me now, as per usual, is Pastor Babuluki Museki, joining us to give us some perspective. Mfundisi, it's a good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today is, how can faith coexist with mental health treatment like therapy and medication?
Yeah, it's a really complex question, and I don't know so much about the mental health aspect. I'm not even trained in that, but I have a limited knowledge, so I will answer according to the limitations of my knowledge. When you look at faith and mental health treatment, in my little understanding, they are not only compatible, but they can work together to bring healing and wholeness. Here's how I arrived at that conclusion. Using, you know, a biblical perspective. Number one, the Bible affirms the veil of the body and the mind. It talks about how we as human beings are holistic, you know, body, mind, and spirit. And God cares about every aspect of our well-being. I mean, He cares about the physical health. You know, and the Bible says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm. So it emphasizes taking care of our bodies. That's one aspect. And then you look at the emotional health. You read the Psalms. The Psalms, some of them, especially the Psalms of David, they're filled with raw expressions of emotion. And you read Jeremiah, he expresses his emotions, what he's going through. You go through the book of Job, you see the same thing also. And this shows that God invites us to bring our pain, and even tells us to do that, to bring our pain, our anxiety, and despair to Him. So He even cares about our emotional health. And then we're looking at the mental aspect, the mental health. Look at the book of Proverbs. You see this rhythm in certain texts in the book of Proverbs, where there is an emphasis on the importance of a sound mind, coupled with wise counsel, meaning that one need to have wise counsel to augment or to have a sound mind. And you know, this I can relate it to therapy. If someone is having a mental health issue, therapy can help because it gives counsel as to how you can deal with this situation, how you can deal with this trauma, how you can deal with the depression or whatever the case may be. And because God cares about our whole being, seeking for help for mental health through therapy, through counseling or medication is not a lack of faith, but it's an act of stewardship over the life that God has given us. And why do I say that? There was a case from what we read when Paul wrote to Timothy in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. It's inferred in the sense that Paul is just giving, we just see one side of the communication. We don't see Timothy's side. Where Paul tells Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach ailments. Getting from that, like the wine would help with his infirmities, his stomach infirmities. And we don't see a lot of faith in that. I mean, wine is here used to help with stomach problems. So medication that is fit for a mental health issue, we can apply the same principle that if it's fit for that mental health issue, it can fix it, can help with it. Employ it. If therapy can help with that, employ it. At the end of the day, that which is good, we are told from the book of James that every good gift comes from God. And God can heal by speaking healing into existence. But it doesn't mean that he can also not work through other means to bring healing and to restore health, whether it's that, you know, physical health or mental health.
Okay. So you're saying we must do both of this?
What I'm saying is that from the question, there's no, in answering the question, there is no contradiction between the two. They actually are in harmony. It's not like when someone gets medication and they do therapy, they do counseling, it's a lack of faith. No, they go hand in hand.
So what do you
As
say?
As to what one should do, what one should do, it's, I'm just giving the response to the question. Now, someone can choose. At the end of the day, we still have a choice. Do I choose, if I have a mental health issue, to, you know, engage counselors to go get medication and still pray to God that, you know, God may help me. God may help me to be faithful. God help may help me to be faithful to the sessions, therapy sessions, and every kind of therapy that I'm receiving so that I can get better. At the end of the day, it lies with the person.
So what do you say to those people who say there were no therapists those days of Jesus and Paul and Silas and Peter? Those men did not heal people and then send them to doctors so that the healing from Jesus should be assisted by medication from the doctor. I'll give you an example. People tend to think that, at least some denominations believe that psychiatric problems are demon infestations. And once you have been exorcised of your demons, in my language, in some communities, you don't even pray for mafufunyane, you simply beat a mafufunyane out of a person. So what do you say to those communities that believe you can simply pray those demons out of your mental illness, and once the demons are gone, your mental illness is gone? How do you respond to that?
That's very interesting that people beat demons out of people.
Yes.
Very interesting. But I think that the cost should be ascertained. Maybe someone is speaking from presumption that the mental health case is a result of demons.
Right.
If someone is working from that premise and they've not ascertained the cause, The person may be entirely free of demon, and the person will be beaten thoroughly until, you know, I don't know until when, but praying for something that is not there, trying to exorcise a demon that is not there, really, I don't know, I don't see how that works. But the proper thing to do is to ascertain the cause.
Yeah.
What is the cause, really, you know, demon possession, or is something else? And I believe that if it's demon possession, then a proper way of handling it would be, you know, praying for the person, exorcising the demons out of the person, because that is a spiritual matter, and spiritual matter is met with spiritual matter. But if it is a matter of physical causes, maybe the neurons or whatever is lacking in the brain is the cause, then the medication can help with that. If it is an issue of trauma, like maybe someone has not reconciled with the past, certain things happen to them, and those things they provide, they create gaps and misfirings in their brain cells, in their neurons, and they experience that, counseling, therapy can help them walk through that,
right,
and reconcile their past, and then they can, you know, they can be on the right path of healing. So the issue is to determine what is the cause, because what I see in many faith communities, as you have pointed out, I think there is a lack of trying to ascertain what the cause is. And because of that, it has resulted in a schism between the medical world and the faith world, where the medical world says, look, you know what, don't go to these guys, because they will say, leave the medication. And then they, on the other side, they know if you go and get medication, you are showing a lack of faith.
Right.
But in reality, there is a lack of trying to harmonize it and see where they complement each other.
Right.
And
right.
That from the fact that people don't ascertain what the cause is.
Allow me, Mfunis, to read an excerpt from the story of Daniel, captured in chapter 4. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel chapter 4, verse 25 to 35. King Nebuchadnezzar, you will be forced to go away from people. You will live among the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle, and you will become wet with dew. 7 seasons will pass, and then you will learn this lesson. You will learn God Most High rules over human kingdoms and gives them to whoever he wants. The command to leave the stump of the tree and its roots in the ground means this: your kingdom will be given back to you. This will happen when you learn that the Most High God rules your kingdom. So, King, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Stop doing bad things and be kind to people, to poor people. Then you might continue to be successful. All these things happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months after the dream, King Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of his palace in Babylon. While on the roof, the king said, look at Babylon. I built this great city. It is my palace. I built this great palace by my power. I built this place to show how great I am. The words were still in his mouth when a voice came from heaven. The voice said, King Nebuchadnezzar, these things will happen to you. Your power as king has been taken away from you. You will be forced to go away from people. You will live with the wild animals and eat grass like an ox. 7 seasons will pass before you learn your lesson. Then you will learn that God Most High rules over humankind and gives them the whoever he wants. These things happened immediately. Nebuchadnezzar was forced to go away. Blah, blah, blah. So what was that, Fundis? A person who does those things in our communities, who's eating from the dustbins, who's howling like a wolf, talking to himself. We think this person is mad. And we expect the person to go to mental hospitals. And I suppose that's the reasonable thing to do. But here is Nebuchadnezzar doing the very same thing. But that was not a psychiatric situation now, was it? That was a spiritual situation. How do you address, how do you distinguish when mental illness is a psychiatric matter and when mental illness is a spiritual matter, like it was with King Nebuchadnezzar?
As I said, in the introduction, I'm not so well vested in the psychiatric, but I believe that they have a way of determining, because when someone goes for consultation, they have a way of determining what could be the cause. But in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, we see here that his problem was pride. I mean, he was warned by Daniel that hey, if you don't do well, my king, if you don't practice righteousness, this is what will happen to you. And then some years later, or some seasons later, according to the Bible, he expresses that pride. Like, is this not great Babylon that I have built? And he's exalting himself. And then God says, actually, this is what is happening to us. It's more of God punishing him for his pride. And this now gives us this idea, that you can have the symptoms could be the same, but the causes could be different. I mean, as you mentioned earlier on, we have guys who are eating from, dust bins and all that, and they're doing all these sorts of things that are similar to what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. And the cause could be different. And sometimes we're taking them to a psychiatric hospital, there they determine. But in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, you can even see that here was God punishing him for his pride.
Well, this was
So,
between God
simple.
and Nebuchadnezzar. I doubt if his family was in part of this conversation. My question is, as family members and communities of faith, pastors and deacons and elders, when somebody in our churches is behaving like this, what should be our way of determining? You're saying we must determine which is it? Is it psychiatric or spiritual? And this person who's asking the question is asking, how can faith coexist? So let's answer this from the perspective of faith communities. How are we going to determine that, no, this one is spiritual?
They say what I've seen with I'll talk about the two aspects. What I've seen with those who are into psychiatry, clinical psychologists, what they do is they, and psychiatrists as well, they ask a person a series of questions, and the way the person responds, they look at the background, then they can have an idea as to the cause. Now, what I've seen also in the church, when we have people who are acting strange, there's also a set of questions, or a way of questioning them rather, not a set of questions, not that they are predetermined. There's a way of questioning them to try and see what could be the cause, and then from their response, one can tell not only their response but also the response of those around them, because sometimes they are not even in the right mind to express or understand what you're saying. So even those around them can see, okay, this could be the cause. The cause is never really zoomed in properly until all the other things have been eliminated. I think that's how also the medical world operates. They ask for symptoms. It could be this, it could be that. Okay, you say that you have this. What did you eat? And stuff like that. So they're really trying to zone into a particular possible cause. And then they have medication or a therapy that is centered around that. So in the same way, we as a faith community, we can have a way of asking questions, getting information that can give us an insight into the behavior of the person or the condition of the person. And then if it is something within the spiritual realm, something within what we understand, as a faith community, then we can move on to put into action the exorcism, the praying for the person, the fasting for the person, And but also I would say that having both being done can lead to a better outcome. The assessment being done by the faith community, or those who are doing exorcism, and the assessment being done by those who are psychiatrists and psychologists, I think, in my opinion, it would give us a better, greater view as to what could be the cause.
So yesterday, a pastor friend of mine sent me a message. He didn't say anything. He simply sent me a quote from Ellen Goldwyatt, which reads as follows. It's just that the quote. It reads, "Tea and coffee drinking is a sin, an injurious indulgence, which, like other evils, injures the soul." Now I'm wondering, tea and coffee, tea and coffee. are evil that injures this evils that injure the soul. Imagine the things said by Ellen White, like there are some people in Africa who are a result of amalgamation. Black people, the Bushmen in Africa, are a result of amalgamation between animals and humans. Eggs are evil. You must breeding novels is evil. All those things. Do you not imagine if we were to investigate the sayings of Ellen White today, we might take her to a psychiatric hospital. Out of the things that she has said, or maybe some spiritual problems.
My elder, I am not getting into that. A friend of mine who wouldn't be a texting that, you know, tea and coffee drinking. Actually, I didn't even drink tea. I had made, you know, a glaze for the cake that I baked. So I was like, hey, man, I'm not going to get into this. But those are very interesting thoughts. I think, you know, we could have time to investigate those areas and those statements. I believe that we have other pastors who can help with that, but
I hear you.
It's a really interesting.
I hear you. I hear you, Mfundisi. All right. I hope the person who's asked the question is answered. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time and your insights. This week has been very insightful. We really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day further and a blessed Sabbath tomorrow.
Thank you, my elder. Same to you. May God richly bless you.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.